No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tame,
tame it to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed. We are your crew today for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. And Ed, you know, it's good to have you back.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you know, last week it was me and Ed, and or no, it was me and Keith.
You and Keith.
Yeah, your better half. And it was Valentine's Day, and we brought Abington on from the Abington Watch Company.
Yeah.
Talked about some cross-country flights, or you know, literally around-the-world flights that she does. And being it was Valentine's Day, I don't know, she was in kind of weird space. I figured we'd make the show about me, as we usually do. 50 Shades of Greg or Gray or whatever was debuting. I figured we'd make it into 50 Shades of Greg. It quickly turned into the Keith and Abington show.
Oh, really?
And I don't know if that explains why neither one of them are with us today.
I kind of doubt that, but...
But I definitely felt like a third wheel last week. And I'm glad they're off on their honeymoon or whatever they choose to do, right?
Nah, I don't think so. I know Keith way too well.
Yes, no, they just hit it off very well last week, and just made me feel very awkward. So I said, please don't come in this week. I need a break. So we got three dudes in the cockpit today. Joining myself and Ed is Captain Clay, who's out in Wyoming today, getting ready to head out on a flight here momentarily. Clay, how are you, buddy?
Doing great today. How about you?
I'm all right. So,
good. Sorry, I don't have the voice to get everybody's mic all sweaty.
Well, I don't know. Speak for yourself.
I'd be worried if you were getting Greg's mic sweaty.
No, I was talking about
judging
you.
By the mics, that gets me a little bit worried.
Yeah. But. No, I was talking about Ed. I was looking over at Ed, and he's like, he's getting a little hot and bothered there. Is that what that is?
I don't think so.
No, that's just more, he's just, I think it's more of an annoyed look.
Yeah, right about now, you're right.
All right, well, we got a lot of aviation news and information to cover today, and then we're going to talk a little bit about Clay's flight. He's in Wyoming. It's time to hop in your plane and fly away. We'll get into that in just a bit. But, of course, as always, the big news of the week, once again, is unmanned aerial aircraft, ooh, or, you know, UAVs. What is it?
Go droning on about that some
more. That was my drone groan.
Yes.
You knew it had to be about drones if Greg's excited.
Well, hey, I mean, you know, now...
He's into battery-operated toys, I guess.
The FAA finally released some, potential guidelines that they're going to pursue, and they've opened it up to public comment. They're going to schedule some meetings people to go and say, hey, do you like these ideas, or what do you think? Should we modify them or whatever?
Well, that's standard FAA rulemaking policy, government mm-hmm. rulemaking policy, notice proposed rulemaking, and then there's a comment period, and the final rule comes out, you know, like a year after or 2 years after that.
Right.
So it's moving at typical FAA pace.
Right. Well, you know. But we get to comment, but we've actually seen some of the first, ideas of what they're going to throw out there. And that's, below 500 feet, 55 pounds and lower.
Yeah.
Commercial operation. Some guidelines that you'll have to have is a certification to operate these vehicles. Like a dive certification card or something that you have to get, or a license mm-hmm. that you have to have updated every 2 years. Yeah. So there's going to be, I don't know, this is going to be like a new cert that you could get as a pilot, UAV flyer, you think? Yeah. That's what they're proposing.
You're going to have wings on your chest that say UAV.
Why not? I might have a better shot at getting that than my private pilot license. I don't know
about that.
Come on.
No, I don't know about that. But, you know, actually, the funny thing is there are stories about Air Force UAV pilots, you know, going to the O Club with their wings on and their leather jackets, and the real pilots have a lot of fun with that.
Really?
Yeah.
So they're already out there, are these UAV nerds?
Yeah.
That the real pilots. But I just wonder, I mean, they're making it out like it could be or will be like a new certification.
Mm-hmm.
For pilots. So could this be something that you would want to add to your arsenal? I mean, you're a flight instructor. Maybe you need to be a UAV.
A UAV instructor?
Yeah, why not? Am I saying that right? UAV? Because I feel like I'm talking about
unmanned
sunscreen
aerial
or something.
Vehicle.
Okay, just checking. UAV, I guess, and that's the sunscreen issue, right?
UAV is the airplane.
No, UVA.
UVA is the
UVA, sunscreen. Okay, it's one of those. I don't know. You know, whatever. You wipe
10
it
out of 7
you.
Pilots are dyslexic, right?
Yeah. If you don't do it right, it'll end up as a gooey mess. That's all I can imagine. But look, you know, the thing is that why not? If you're a pilot, you will know a lot of the rules that they want these UAV pilots to abide by already, because you're already trained as a pilot. And they basically want you to be familiar, I believe, from what I'm reading from these proposed rules, is they want you to be somewhat familiar with airspace and the restrictions of where you can go and where you can't go. You can't fly over crowds or over people that don't know that there are UAVs going on, I guess, or something to that effect.
Well, yeah, and the other thing is line of sight, that you've got to remain the ability to see it. You can't use a spotter. You can't use a camera, a remote camera on the UAV.
Yeah, I'm not sure I agree with that. I'm with the farmers on this one. The farmers are already raising hell because, you know, these UAVs are pretty popular in agriculture already as far as monitoring crops and things like that. They're using them in that capacity. And they're already griping, saying, hey, these restrictions are too rough for us. We use these far off to look at our crops, and they're out of line of sight. And we do use the cameras on them so we can monitor the flights. Don't put this restriction on us. You're going to mess us up, and we're going to get bugs on our plants, and that'll be the end of the world.
Well, my dad's a farmer, and he doesn't use one, but
he's old school.
Well, no, actually not. He's very, very into technology in the farm and using GPS and all that stuff. He hadn't gotten to this one yet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess that just goes to show you all the potential landmines that are out there in front of this whole process. I have a feeling we're just seeing the beginning stages of what they'll come up with.
Yeah.
But whether it'll pan out this way or it'll get chewed away to the effect that, yeah, anyone can do it. By the time it's done, I bet it'll be something like that.
But that's the thing. We're talking about commercial operations. What about the private individual?
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on with that part of the process.
And okay, where does the RC model airplanes fall into this? You know, those are things that doesn't look like this rule addresses.
I would think that is obviously a bigger potential problem. Of course it is. So yeah. I guess, you know, not commercial operation, but just hobbyists.
Yeah.
That's where it's going to run into the problem, because they're not going to have any clue of the potential conflicts with aircraft in that regard. So I know they're looking at it, but I don't know where they're at in that process. For whatever reason, they've come out with this commercial proposal first, and I guess that's because they want to be able to work with the people that are using it in business and photography and professional situations like that, movie studios, things like that in Hollywood, which are using these on a very high-end type of scale, I guess.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see how it goes. I don't know. Clay, what do you think? They're in Wyoming. Well, UAVs are like a necessity, aren't they?
I don't know. I've never actually flown one, but you know, certainly in Wyoming, the you know, the population is low and the land areas and the airspace is large. But you know, I'd agree that I think that the, you know, the hobbyists would be the biggest problem. The commercial operators would probably pay a little bit more attention to the regulatory aspect of what they're doing. But the hobbyists, you know, these things are being sold like, you know, Jack in the Box prizes now.
That's right.
You know, and they're fairly inexpensive. And you know, some of the ones, I mean, the two guys who are very professional, but the two guys that do our that just did our promo videos for us for my company, you know, they took some shots that were unbelievable. I was like, how high do these things go? And he said, about 3,500 feet.
Yeah.
And you know, that gave me pause.
You said, wait a minute.
Yeah. It's like, excuse me, I don't want to eat one of these things.
But, yeah. What type of liability insurance do you carry is what you're asking him.
Yeah, and they're like, insurance? What insurance?
Exactly.
It's a toy. Yeah, you know, when it comes to,
and, you know, but yeah. They're not, and you know, it actually sort of amazes me. I was thinking about this the other day that it took so long for drones to get this popular. I don't know whether it was the creation of the lightweight GoPro type cameras or what it was, but the technology's been around for a long time.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And it's just in the last 12 to 24 months that the things have become popular, and of course the FAA is a little bit behind the eight ball in the regulatory aspect of it.
What? A government agency slow to respond? That's just
ludicrous.
What planet are you on?
I think it's like sort of like running a covered wagon trying to last through the USS Enterprise.
Oh, good point. Yeah, good point. All right, more coming up on Just Plane Radio. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
How soon can you land?
I can't tell.
You can tell me. I'm a doctor.
No, I mean, I'm just not sure.
But can't you take a guess?
Well, not for another 2 hours.
You can't take a guess for another 2 hours?
Come fly with me. Let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come on and fly with me. Let's fly away. They say, come fly with me. Let's fly away.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed and Flight Training Professionals. FTPros.com is the website to go to and learn how to fly and have Ed as your flight instructor. Also joining us right now, we got Captain Clay, who's based in Wyoming today, and he's getting ready to hop in his airplane and go for a cruise. This will be like an evening sunset cruise you're planning. Is that right?
Yeah, basically. I was just checking weather, and it seems like clear skies, maybe a little bit of low-level turbulence, which is sort of normal this time of year.
Yeah.
In this neck of the woods.
But, so are you going up for that calm air at night, or will it be nighttime by the time you're in the air, or no?
Oh, yeah, it'll probably be close to dusk by the time I get out there and get pre-flighted and get going.
Yeah?
But and you'll just, it's been a month since I got back from the last trip, so the poor plane's been sitting there feeling lonely ever since. So,
well, you know, time flies, literally. Hey, had to get that one in there eventually. But look, so but I wonder where are you planning to fly to? You just going to go up and catch air, kind of thing, or what?
Well, you know, coincidentally, there is a little town called Buffalo, Wyoming, which is about it's the next airport north of here. It's about 100 miles or so. And they've got really cheap fuel. So I figured I'd go up there and tanker some fuel down.
Ooh. There you go. Like how much?
Pretty flight. It's on the east side of the Bighorn Mountains, and it's a really nice place.
So that'll take you how long to get there, you figure? Thereabouts.
Oh, it'll take me, 45 minutes or so to get there.
Yeah. And you'll save how much fuel by going there?
I'll save probably 70 or 80 bucks worth of it's not really worth it to make the trip.
Yeah,
but
it's
an excuse to fly, and you pay a little bit more than a dollar a gallon less there.
Well, there you go. So, I mean, is it like if you go there and you buy a hamburger, the $100 hamburger will be like 75 or
yeah, something like that.
Okay, yeah. Got
basically
it.
How it works.
Are you going to pick up a burger then? Now, have I made you hungry?
Actually, there's a really nice steakhouse in town, but there's no way to get there from the airport unless you have somebody pick you up. So
really? Yeah. What? They don't have like, wouldn't the FBO have like a taxi service for you or
courtesy
something?
Car?
Yeah.
It's a very small place.
Yeah. It's Wyoming.
Yeah. You're used to a little bit bigger airports where they have stuff like that.
Yeah. There in Wyoming, yeah. It's like, oh yeah, we got a moose. You want to hop on a moose? I don't know what they do.
Did I ever tell you about that time I was flying? I flew over to Jackson, which is if you're flying in Wyoming, that's an absolutely beautiful flight. Go across the Wind River Range and you fly into Jackson Hole, the Tetons in front of you.
Yeah.
But and the airport there is actually, I believe, the only airport in the U.S. that is actually on Forest Service land.
Mm-hmm.
And it's surrounded by the national park, I believe. I was sitting at the FBO there, which, of course, being Jackson, is very nice and it's very, very well appointed. And I went out to the plane and started it up, and I started to taxi across the ramp. This is before they had a control tower to go to the end of the runway. And there was a pack string crossing the runways, crossing the ramps, about 50 horses and a couple of cowboys.
The cowboys were crossing it as well?
Well, yeah, you hope the pack string's under some control.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. He's talking farm language there.
Yes.
Cowboy stuff. Cowboy. Yeah, I mean, you got to look out for like gophers and elk and sheep and God knows what else, right? Cows? I mean, it's open pasture type stuff, right?
Well, it's probably open range there to some extent. I'm not sure whether they fenced it at this point, but I mean, it's a very large airport with commercial flights in there and pavement and big ramps and nice FBO and all that. But
yeah,
about 15 years ago.
You know, when you're out there in an area like that, Clay, and I'm sure you've encountered this as well, Ed. Mm-hmm. I mean, is this like driving a car that if you're a sensitive individual, you'll like swerve your car to the left or right to avoid a squirrel, but when you're flying, it'll be like a gopher and you're like, oh, no, I'm going to go around. I don't want to take him out. Have you ever had to do that? Or you're like, hey, sorry, Charlie, you're done.
Well, it sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. And you know those big sandhill cranes that we have here in Florida?
Oh, yeah, the ones that are like endangered species birds? And
well, the tall ones with the red heads, and they make lots of noise. And
oh, yeah, yeah.
They're not the sharpest knives in the drawer.
Okay.
They, down in South Florida, there were two that were residents on the airport. They were named George and Gracie because they would come feed, knock on your door, you'd throw them food.
Yeah.
Well, one morning, one of my staff was out with a customer in a Twin, a Seminole.
Yeah.
They're taking off,
mm-hmm.
and it's dark still, and the student sees the lights these two birds on the runway.
Yeah,
and they're 4 foot tall, and he just yanks the airplane into the air, just reacts. They weren't fast enough to fly yet, so he got it airborne about 4 or 5 feet, went over the birds, and then it stalled back down and touched down really hard, and they aborted the takeoff.
About that. So, but George and Gracie survived.
George and Gracie did survive that day.
That day.
I don't know if they're still there or not. I haven't been down there in a while.
It depends on how smart these birds happen to be. I guess.
They weren't smart.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, bird strikes are one thing, but well, I'm wondering, like,
Orlando
ground critters.
Executive, if you were on our web or our Facebook page, you would have seen a picture Maggie posted of the coyote that lives on airport. He was just walking down the runway one day, like, yeah, get out of my way. This is mine.
Yeah. Well, coyote would be fast enough to get out of the way, I would imagine.
He wasn't bothering.
No, he didn't care?
Nope, it's his runway.
Hmm, interesting. Well, I don't know if he's still there or not.
He's desensitized to all of it.
Yeah.
He, you know, they chase him. They chase him away. He comes back.
Yeah, it's like that Sonic the Hedgehog game, and he's the fox character in a video game, and your airplane take him out, kind of thing.
Yeah,
maybe.
No,
maybe so.
It wouldn't do well for the airplane.
I actually flew into San Juan, obviously on a commercial carrier, but I was looking out the window, and in San Juan on the airport, at least that particular afternoon, there were like just tons of iguanas everywhere, scattered all over the runway. And I mean, you could see them. I'm like, what is that in the runway? And sure enough, they start to scatter like, you know, roaches when the plane got closer. And as we landed, you see them running off the runway, off to the sides of the runways. I'm like, hey, if these guys aren't fast enough, how many times are they taken out and they're cleaning up, you know, iguana roadkill?
Yeah.
On the run, would they even bother? Because it creates like some kind of, that would create an obstacle if you have like iguana guts on the runway and your little Saratoga.
There would have to be a code in the braking action reports for that runway.
Yeah, you would think that would be something. That would that be a pilot report? Hey, you're flying into San Juan. Watch out for iguana guts. No, you never heard
like,
of that.
Like FRZ is freezing rain, and SIG is squished iguana or something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, actually, they put stuff like that in the 80s. You listen to 80s, the executive, they always mention caution numerous birds and flocks of birds in the area.
Yeah, and one dead gopher and runway 7. I don't know. Maybe I bet that's happened, though. You think?
Oh, you want to hear the alligator story?
The alligator. Oh, my gosh. We got to hear the alligator story. Okay, we'll take a break first because I'm going to have to prep myself for this one. So prepare yourself. We're in Florida. Anything that involves Florida and alligators, you know. So that's coming up next.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings.
Okay, runway roadkill. I guess that's where we've been deviated to on today's edition of Just Plane Radio. Ed brings up a story of alligators on the runway. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, we're in Florida, and it's very common to see alligators just about anywhere. And executives, no exception. There's plenty of water there.
Yeah.
And
we don't get any gators over there at Executive, do we?
They do, absolutely.
Really?
They do, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
What do you think the birds are there to feed the gators?
Ah, okay, good point. Okay.
So it's a night flight. I'm out. I'm taxiing out on a night flight, and I see a gator sitting off to one side of the taxiway. So I report it to the airport, to the tower, and tower reports to airport ops. Airport ops comes out and spots it. And then I'm in the pattern doing landing practice at night.
Yeah.
And I could see this all going on over the side. It was the intersection of Kilo and Echo 4.
They're trying to wrestle the alligator?
Well, no, they spotted him. Then they decided they needed to deal with it, so they called animal control.
Yeah.
And so animal control, so you hear the ops truck go over to the gate, escort the animal control guys in, the talk going between the tower and the animal control or the ops guy from the airport. And, you know, so it was rather quick. They got back in the truck and they're heading off. And the tower guy says, so that happened. You got that awful fast. He said, yeah. Did you chase him off? No. And they said, oh, so he is no more. And he said, yeah, they just came out. They didn't even try to catch him. They just shot him.
What?
And the controller was like, oh, wow, he says, at least, so it killed him. And then he said, well, not initially, because when we picked him up, he started moving. So they evidently had to shoot him again and cart him off.
Oh, He was
so
robust.
Can you imagine the airport ops guy helping this guy pick up an alligator? It was about an 8-foot alligator.
Wow.
And picking him up, and all of a sudden it's starting to move again. I've been like, hell no.
On a knife fight, you know, those alligators' eyes, they light up. They reflect light. I would think you could mistake them for the Vassy lights on the runway or something. It could create all kinds of havoc. So they're just doing their airport duty. I salute them.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Never feel sorry for a man who owns a plane.
So here I stand, and then again I say, I'm hoping we can make some wishes out of airplanes.
Can we pretend that airplanes in the night sky are like shooting stars?
Hey,
I can really use a wish right now.
Wish right now. Wish right now.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed from Flight Training Professionals. FTPros.com is the website you want to go to and learn how to fly with Ed and Keith and the crew. They're at Flight Training Professionals in Orlando, at Orlando Executive Airport. They'll make sure you avoid the alligators. God forbid if they show up on the runway. I don't think they will anymore.
Oh, yeah.
No, they won't.
Yeah.
After you kill one, yeah, they kind of tell.
We got otters there, they're gators, they're birds.
I used to hang out over here
there's
in Florida.
There's a coyote.
Then they shot my brother. Never going back.
They're not that smart.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sure you'll help the pilots in training avoid those situations. But some other things that Ed and the folks at Flight Training Professionals could help you avoid is, well, I don't know, or at least keep you informed about is a story I saw brought up on AOPA's training site. And it was talking about lean mixtures and hot engines. Basically, he's saying that you want to make sure that when you're leaning your engine on taxi, you don't. Usually in the plane that I was learning in, the 172, we would have the mixture all the way in, wouldn't we? Don't we? Oh, we have it halfway back. That's right. Three quarters, thereabouts.
Yeah.
That's why.
See, now you remembered.
It's been a while. What can
He's
I
like,
say?
We never did that. Yes, you did.
Yeah. Well, that was for, okay, so we do our startup, and that's full, and then we back it off.
And why do we back it off?
So we don't foul the spark plugs?
So we don't foul the spark plugs.
Okay. So we're already doing that.
Because if we have the mixture rich,
yeah,
we're putting lots of fuel in,
yeah,
and lots of air in, mm-hmm, but we're not burning all of it. And that fuel that's not being burnt becomes carbon buildup. It turns into hard carbon on the mm-hmm spark plugs. And so that when you go down to the run-up area and you put the mixture rich and you bring the throttle up to 17 or 1800 RPM, whatever the recommendation is, and you do the magneto check, all of a sudden you get that rough running mag and you get a big drop and it's snorting and popping.
Yeah.
And it's because we have fouled plugs.
Ah, and that kind of blows them out a little bit?
Well, what it does is if you lean the mixture, you don't put as much fuel in.
Mm-hmm.
And thus, the fuel that's going in is being burnt.
Yeah.
And there's no residue left over that carbonizes.
Uh-huh.
And so you don't have that carbon buildup. You don't get the rough running mag, and you're actually able to take off. Now, you can clear that if you have a little bit roughness in the magneto by putting the mixture back rich, taking it from the 1800 up to 2000, 2100, but be sure to hold the brakes. Then you lean it out again, watching your exhaust gas temperature, EGT gauge, and try to get it to the peak hottest temperature you can, and let it sit there for about 30 seconds, then mixture rich and throttle back to 1800, check the mags again. What you're doing there is you're heating the exhaust gas up, mm-hmm, and you're heating the engine up, and you're burning that carbon off. Now, sometimes it's so bad because people have not been leaning it on taxi,
yeah,
that it's so bad that you can't clean it up. And then you lose the flight. You have to take it back in. They've got to pull the spark plugs out of the airplane, clean them, and get the carbon off them and put them back in.
Well, that would happen, obviously, if you got in a situation where you ended up having a taxi for a long time and you left it too rich.
Yeah, well, or if you had pilots not following the proper procedure and that airplane's made five flights that day, or and only two of the guys lean the mixture properly on taxi.
Yeah.
You know, and so it is not just a reflection of your flight, but it's all the flights that airplanes made as well.
Hmm. So when you do your warm up at the runway, mm-hmm. then you would realize you have a problem because it's not the RPMs aren't coming up to the level that you thought it would.
No.
That's when you would when would you know that they're fouled to the point that I got to turn
when
around.
You check the magnetos.
So when you check the magnetos and what it doesn't it goes all the way off, what would it do?
No.
What?
The only thing that would go off is if you turn the key to the off position.
Yeah.
When you turn the key to the left position or the right position,
and you lose a little RPM.
Yeah, you normally lose about 100 RPM. You're turning one of the magnetos off.
Yeah.
So the engine has how many spark plugs?
Let's go with 8.
He got a lifeline on that one. So 8 spark plugs,
yeah.
4 spark plugs connected to one magneto, 4 spark plugs connected to the other.
Right.
Okay, so the magneto, when you're turning one of them off, you're running on 4 spark plugs, one in each cylinder.
Okay.
There are 2 plugs in each cylinder, so one connected to one magneto, one connected to the other.
Got it.
And that's why we get a little bit of an RPM drop, because we're not as efficiently burning the fuel.
Right.
Now, if more than likely the plugs that are fouled are going to be the plugs on the bottom of the cylinder, because there's plug on the top, plug on the bottom.
Okay.
And when you turn the magnets connected to those plugs, mm-hmm. That's where you usually get the rough running mag. And it won't be, it'll be more than 100 or 150 RPM drop. It may be 300 RPM drop.
Okay.
And it'll be, and I say snorting and popping because it will be very rough running. That's not right.
Yeah.
You know, everybody likes that smooth running engine. So then you go back to both, you run the up to a higher RPM, you lean the mixture out, get them nice and hot, and you then bring the mixture back and you check them again. It should be smooth.
Okay.
The big thing you don't want to do is you don't want to run it that hot that long because you're sitting still. You're not have any air flowing into the engine.
Yeah.
And that could you can if you let it run at that RPM too long, you can overheat the engine.
Well, you mean when you're running up in like 1700 and stuff?
Or when I'm talking about when I'm running up at 2100 to clean the magneto.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm
going to
get
right,
a lot hotter at 2100 than 1700.
But you don't only do it for 10, 15, 20 seconds, maybe?
About 30 seconds max.
Yeah, okay.
You know, so well, it's okay, not a I got long you period now. Of time.
You but had to explain also, it twice, that, so I got it. Because you did, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's for, you know, people that are, you know, a little slower to catch on. Not necessarily myself. I do this as a public service for our Just Plain Radio listeners.
Yeah. Bovine scatology.
Yeah. But is it a problem, really? A bigger problem? But is it
well,
just,
it is.
It's one of those things where if you're the flight instructor and you train your students properly, they're going to do this, right?
Yeah. But. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And they'll do it just because the instructor taught them how to do it.
Right.
The important thing is they have to understand why they're doing it and what's going on behind it. And that's mm-hmm. usually what's missed, and that's where this article comes into play, is it's explaining why they're having to do this. And if they're not doing it to do it, or if they're doing it, now they understand a little bit more clearly why they have to do it.
And, you know, that was something that Abington was bringing up last week mm-hmm. on her flight instruction. And she said that was the key from her perspective, that when you're doing these ferry flights – and you know, we were talking about the fact that they had extra tanks, or the guys, you know, the guy that was in the Cirrus that had the parachute landing there in the Pacific, and you know, these special systems they set up. You have to know, like, if something goes wrong, that not only what are you supposed to do in an emergency situation, but you know, okay, this is the problem. What are my solutions? And there could be several.
Yeah.
And you have to know why this is doing, okay, I'm not getting gas from my wing to my engine. Why is that? Well, if I pump it from the other wing and switch this tank around and this kind of thing, there's usually always a solution if you know how the system works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where it's not just about the flight test. It's about the real world, and if something goes wrong, knowing what the ramifications are and if there are any fixes to it.
Mm-hmm.
And customers that we work with, you know, sometimes they're like, well, I just want to know what I need to get the license, to get through the training, to get the certificate. And as you know, we're not about that. The flight test is a formality.
Well, and the point that Abington was bringing up, we were talking about the fact that the Cirrus has the as the parachute.
Yeah.
And that's a very comforting thing if you're a pilot and you know, hey, you know, the plane breaks or stops, well, at least I got a parachute.
Yeah.
I got an exit strategy, so to speak.
Yeah.
Which is okay. But then Keith chimed in and was like, well, that's not really good because you don't want people relying on the fact that they have this safety net, so to speak, as opposed to being able to fix the problem in front of them.
And that's probably why the insurance rates are on Cirruses are 5 times that of any other airplane.
Really? You think people are relying on that technology too much and that kind of makes them...
I think it gives them the wrong mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And that it can lead to some bad decisions. And, you know, but of course this one over the ocean, hey, that's a win for the parachute system.
Yeah.
And you know, there are times to pull it and there are times not to pull it.
Right.
And that's the thing. But I think people, they get into this this invulnerability. I've got a parachute. I can do anything.
True.
And that leads them down a very bad path. We talk in training about the 5 hazardous attitudes, and invulnerability is one of them.
Yeah.
And I think this promotes it. You know, bottom line, there's no substitution for good aeronautical decision making.
Yeah, I don't know. Parachute's one thing. Maybe a cape.
That would be
Nate. It looked good.
That'd be the hazard attitude macho.
Oh, okay. Which isn't good either, I guess. Even though it does, it makes a fashion.
It's kind of like, hey, look at this.
It does make a fashion statement, though.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up. You want to hit back? We're going to have to wingsuit in. It's the only way to get close. I can't promise anyone a ride home, but if you're with me, the world needs you now.
And I can fly.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed from Flight Training Professionals. That's Keith Urban, one of the judges from American Idol. You watching that, by the way? Come on. Yeah, you're a big American Idol guy. No?
No.
He's your favorite judge.
No.
No, he's not. You don't like him?
I don't watch that stuff.
Well, he wrote a song about flying.
I know that.
So wouldn't that make him, you know, bring him up a notch or two on your list?
Yeah, but I have no desire to watch that show.
It's American Idol. You're so that's like un-American.
It's not good TV, you know? I mean, I'm not a big reality show junkie like you are.
I don't know what you mean.
I don't know what you mean. Well, your favorite aviation show got picked up for a third season.
It did. Airplane Repo?
Yeah, I can't believe that.
Yeah.
Shows how little that the general public understands the fact that this is not reality TV.
Well, it doesn't have to be real to be reality. It just has to be entertaining. And there's a lot of cool planes in that show.
Yeah.
So you got to give him a little prop from that standpoint, don't you?
No.
Okay. He knows some of those guys, not fans.
Not fans.
Yeah, you see,
not
you fan. Have a personal connection to it that ruins that thing for you.
Well, I just think that they portray aviation in a horrible light, and it's portrayed bad enough by mainstream media, and that show just makes it worse.
Well, I love the planes that they have in that show, and I kind of think of it along the lines like, okay, look, if I had one of these planes that I could grab and go fly off with, that would be kind of fun.
Yeah. But like, it's not legal.
Well, the legality of it, who needs that?
Hollywood's above legality.
Okay, enough nonsense. Let's talk about ForeFlight. We haven't talked about these guys lately, at least last few weeks, but which is surprising because they're constantly coming out with new updates to the ForeFlight app.
Yeah.
That we use, and you guys use at Flight Training Professionals quite a bit, and they've had a pretty big upgrade. Several new features that we could talk about. The latest being how it interfaces. Is it wirelessly?
Yeah.
With what kind of avionics?
With the Dynon equipment, which is very prevalent in light sport and home built aircraft. And basically what they're allowing it to do is interface back and forth with ForeFlight, so you can literally upload from your iPad your route into the Dynon system and vice versa, and it keeps the iPad ForeFlight program and the airplane in sync.
Oh, okay. So you can go into your FBO on your trip, change a flight plan while you're in the lobby there or working on their computers and updating it during lunch, your $100 hamburger, and then give it back into your airplane, hit a button, sync it up, and it uploads the flight plan to your avionics there, and you're good to go.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice.
And it also will take if you're using the Stratus system, will take some of the ADS-B information that it would put on the iPad and also transfer it up to the Dynon as well.
Well, there you go. So, and once again, this can only be technically used as a backup system.
Yeah.
But it allows you to keep both systems, up to date and up to speed.
Yeah, I'm
and in sync.
Helping a customer sell one of his airplane or sell his airplane. It's a 1997 Archer, and the gentleman who is buying it hasn't flown in a few years. Mm-hmm. It's a 97. It's a standard gauge, so it doesn't have a glass cockpit. It's got a good GPS, good navcoms, autopilot, air condition, real nice airplane.
Right.
And the guy was asking me about my opinion about doing avionics upgrades and stuff like that. And we were sitting in my office talking, and I showed him. He was asking about airports to base it at, so I grabbed my iPad out, opened up ForeFlight, and started showing him the airports in his area. Then switched to the aerial view. And he's like, what's that?
Yeah.
And, so we got talking about iPads, ForeFlight, and all the different things that he can do with it, and the Stratus and how it relates. He says, you need to make me notes on all this stuff so mm-hmm. I can get me one of them when I pick up before I pick up the airplane. And he says, you'll show me how to use it. And I said, yeah, I'll show you how to use it. But, I basically showed him that he can take his standard gauge airplane and develop about the same amount of information that I have on the G1000 at a fraction of the cost. Because he started adding up. He's like, for like $600, I can have everything. Or, well, with the ads at Stratus, okay,
right.
$1,500, mm-hmm. I can have everything that you'd have almost in a G1000 airplane. I said, almost.
Yes, but technically you're not. That can't be your primary flight stuff, which is kind of goofy.
He's going to be flying VFR. It's all good. It's all information that helps the pilot be more situational. And we talked about that too. Mm-hmm. I said, the technology, if you don't know how to use it, your head's down playing with it instead of being out looking at airplanes. Once you know how to use it, you got to train with it. You got to use it regularly so that you can get to the information quick, get yourself situational aware, get the information you need, and get back outside looking for airplanes and flying the airplane.
Yeah.
Ultimately, that's what technology can do for us. That's what ForeFlight can do for us, is it allows us to be more aware of what's going on around us in less time, thus getting our eyes outside and focusing on flying the airplane first.
Yeah. Well, how long do you think it's going to be before they do say, okay, you can use this system? I think it's coming.
Well,
it has to be coming.
It's actually already here in the experimental aircraft.
Yeah, you can use that as your primary, as the iPads, something like that.
It is being used in some home-built airplanes right now, because there's already cradles to power the iPad through the panel.
Mm-hmm.
The Air Gizmos.
Right.
They've been using them with the Garmin GPSs for years. Well, they developed an iPad mount for one.
So it's like a docking station.
Station, and I've seen pictures of airplanes with two iPads in them,
right?
And they're connected to an AHAR system. They're integrated through these AHAR systems into the aircraft avionics, the aircraft engine instruments. So one iPad's displaying the map and the engine instruments. The other iPad is displaying through a portable AHAR system, showing you the flight display.
It's coming.
That's here.
It won't get here soon enough.
Certified airplanes, they'll take longer because the FAA has more to say about it,
and
we know how quick they are.
Yeah, the tortoise and tortoise.
Yeah,
we'll just stick with that one. All right, that'll do it for this week. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plain Radio is brought to you by JustPlainRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plain Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlainRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plain Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plain Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlainRadio.com.